Good morning.
Morning.
Are we okay with this, the sound system? Okay, it was making noises, right? Okay. It didn't sound like the normal voices in my head, so I didn't know what it was. It's good to have you here, especially in this series that we're working on. And let me tell you, it's a hard series to do. It seems like it shouldn't be because it is more about stuff that has to do with relationships. But I shared with you last week, I thought I had some stuff down, and then a week came and it wasn't working, so I had to redo things. I think God just has a funny sense of humor that way. But today I do want to talk about how important it is in terms of family and some important issues around it that sound pretty simple but usually are not. But you need to grab your seat and hang on with me, okay? Yeah, here we go. Say, give me another uh-oh. Because I've got stories coming out my ears. I've got a story about a farmer in southern Ohio. I've got a story about an Italian immigrant. I've got a story about a Jordanian immigrant. I've got a story about a lineman for the Chicago Bears. I've got a story about an evangelical Christian from Nebraska. And I've got a story about me almost having an accident yesterday. So if you think you can make sense of all that, let me know after the sermon. So here we go. You got to make hay while the sun shines. You know that expression, right? When I was in high school, I would help my uncle bale hay, literally, with my cousin Larry. And one time we were on the farm, and we had put a lot of hard days in getting the hay in. We had the backfield left to do. And he told us, you know, we've done a lot. You can take a break. And so it was late in the afternoon. My cousin and I, we drank that sweet country iced tea. Do you know that? My aunt would make. I mean, it was a hot day. We drank that down. But being young and energetic at that time, we wanted to do something else. So we went out and started playing basketball. He had a basket on the barn. And we were having a great time. Played 45 minutes for an hour. But pretty soon, Uncle Don came out of the house and said, "You guys go get your gloves. We need to get the hay." And, you know, being the age that we did, we really complained. And he said, "Listen to the weather and the rain's coming. We need to get the hay out of the field. You got to make hay while the sun shines. You let it get rained on, it can get ruined. It can be heavy. It's not any good. You got to put time in on the things you need to put time in on when you need to do it." When we talk about growing in love and grace with family and friends, we need to put time in when we need to do it, because pretty soon it's going to rain. Pretty soon, those of you with children, they're going to move out. Did you know that? And many of you are saying, "Praise Jesus." Yeah. There's going to come time in relationships when we can't put that time in because it's over. And somehow I think even some of the basic issues of loving each other as family and friends, of loving our neighbors as ourselves, of loving those around the world, we get so distracted with things that we can't do it. In the gospel lesson today, we hear Jesus, that wonderfully read gospel lesson today, we hear Jesus talk about who's my family. And he does a wonderful teaching about discipleship. I mean, you want to be part of Jesus' family or what God is about in the world. My family are those who do the will of God. And we know that. It's a wonderful teaching of discipleship. Jesus says in his teaching, you feed the hungry, you take care of those who are in need. You know, you make disciples of all the people of the nations. You welcome the stranger into your midst. You become community and family with others. We know that, but sometimes we forget the foundational teaching of what's that based on. If you're going to do the will of God, you've got to do. It takes time. It takes learning. It takes a lot of stuff. But if you don't put time in, what's the point? To do the will of God, to be involved in those things in time, to invest yourself and invest who you are and what you are in loving relationship of those around us, but even with those who are near and dear to us. And make that foundational so we can grow into disciples and loving into the world. Nicholas Paterno tells a story about his maternal grandfather, Rocco Galasso, an immigrant from Italy. Mr. Galasso immigrated from Emily and moved into New York City. And Nicholas would tell the story about his grandfather, how Mr. Galasso, his grandpa, would come to him and say, "Nicholas, let's take a walk." And so him and his grandfather would walk in the streets of New York City, and they would stop at a deli. And Nicholas would say, "My grandfather would get a pastrami sandwich the size of my head, and he'd buy me a hot dog." But then he'd say, "Nicholas, you know, we're taking a walk, right? This sandwich is your and my secret, right? Would you like another hot dog?" And so Nicholas says, "Yeah, Grandpa, it's our secret." When Mr. Galasso came to the United States, he moved into, I think it was a six flat, six, three apartments each, is that what it's called? Is it a six flat or four flat in New York City? He became the superintendent of that building, and he did really well for himself, and after a while being here, he bought the building. And after he bought the building, his family moved in, right? His aunts, or his children, you know, Nicholas's aunts and uncles. And so many of the apartments that Mr. Galasso managed were his family. And what he would do on Sunday afternoon is Mr. Galasso himself would cook. And 30 to 40 members of his family would come to his flat, and they'd have afternoon Sunday dinner. Do you remember those? And it was a wonderful time. Well, Nicholas tells a story about his grandfather that one day the city of New York came to him and said, you know, this area is old. We need to put up new apartment buildings. And they condemned his building and all those buildings around that. And they had 9 months to a year to get out. So they started moving out. And so it got to the point where about 30 to 40 days where they needed to be out. And they came over for a Sunday dinner, 30 to 40 people in that house. And Mr. Galasso went to Nicholas and he says, you and your brother come with me. We need to go to the basement to stoke the oven with some coal. They went to the basement. And Mr. Grandpa said, boys, put some coal. And he said it in a wonderful Italian accent that I've practiced and I cannot do. Boys, put some coal in your pockets. And so they did. Then they went out back of the apartment. And Mr. Galasso, Grandpa, took a piece of coal out of his pocket, threw it, and broke one of the windows of the apartment, of another apartment that was vacant. And he said, boys, don't hit mine, but break those windows out. And the family came out and said, oh, stop, stop. It didn't stop him. Nicholas said, I thought it was the funnest thing in the world, right? You know, they broke all the windows except for him. And Mr. Paterno says, you know, years after my grandpa passed away, you know, I thought he was mad that they took his building. They took his possession. They took what he gave his life to. He says, you know what, as I've thought about it, that wasn't it. What really made Grandpa mad and what really hurt him is he realized those Sunday dinners were over. The family wasn't going to be together like that again. And that's what broke his heart. And that's why he reacted the way he did. You know, when I heard that story, I felt that story. How about you? I felt family dinners I've had on Sunday afternoon. I felt Christmas and Thanksgiving dinners I had with extended family. I felt some time I had with our children when they were very young. You know, I felt that. It's there. I understand that. And I give God thanks for those things, as I'm sure this family did as well. But I miss those. Do you? I miss that family time. But the question, though, the question for us as those who want to live in this world, as those who are loved by Christ and want to love into the world, is the future. The past is over, but the future is open. Is that we can mourn those and be sad about those, especially those we have lost. But what's keeping us from making more of those? What's keeping us from finding another place? What's keeping us from really having those times and experiences in our life that we talk about loving, graceful, filled family times? I don't think it's a city that condemns your property. I think it's sometimes something we do or something we do not do. Are we willing to invest our time in loving relationships with each other? That's what we are asked to do. In the book of Acts today, we hear that reading of the disciples. Wonderful reading of the early church coming, and they give all their money and all this stuff. But bottom line is they spent time together in fellowship, in prayer, in teaching, in breaking bread together. They invested time in each other, and church came out of that. A church that took over the world. And are we willing to invest our time as well? You know, if you want a loving relationship with somebody, the central component, the most important thing you can do is give time. Now, there's other things as well. But if you don't give time, it doesn't matter. You can love all you want at a distance. It doesn't matter if you don't give the time. I've mentioned part of the reading I'm doing to teach this comes from a gentleman named Dr. Henry Cloud. He's a wonderful Christian therapist. He does some preaching as well as teaching. And he talks about how do we raise families together, and he incorporates scriptural wisdom and Christian history into that. And he tells a wonderful story about somebody. But he starts by saying his senior year in high school, the senior year, the paper comes around to take pictures of all those who've done well. You know, I never got my picture taken. I don't know about you. The merit scholars, the valedictorians, the drama and music people, they get their picture in the paper. Seniors graduate. But he said his senior year, they came by and they also took a picture of 15 to 20 seniors in their class who received scholarships to go to NCAA sports teams. Think about that. I mean, even a large high school, 15 to 20 of them got scholarships to go to large NCAA high schools. That's significant. And one way to say is, you know, well, there's something in the water, right? Or they're eating right, right? But he said he thought about that for a while. And he thought back, because it was his class, he knew these guys really well. But he thought about that group of guys that went all the way through high school together. He thought back into their history, and there was one common gentleman they had in common. And Mr. John K.O. Dotley. Anybody heard of him? He was a lineman for the Chicago Bears. Do you know him? For 1 year, I think, maybe two. Mr. Dotley was a star college player, set records, I think, in Mississippi. And he was drafted by the Bears. He played for 1 year, and then you know how the knee gets shot sometimes? His knee got taken out, his knee got hurt, and he had to quit. But Mr. Dotley, he had some children and loved football, obviously, being into it. And when his children got about 12 years old, they started in Little League football. He volunteered to be the coach. And him and another friend did. And as he put those practices together, he made those 12-year-olds come to practice every day. Do they practice every day now? 3 hours a day. Do they do 3 hours a day? 12-year-old. And he followed that class through until they got junior high or high school. He coached for 5 years. He invested his time. And Dr. Cloud said, you know, Mr. Coach Dotley would teach us, would correct us, would challenge us, would scold us. And as football players do, he would yell at us. But he took the time to do that. 3 hours a day for 5 years. He invested in those kids. What happened when they graduated? They got NCAA scholarships. Dr. Cloud said he put time into those kids and it invested in that significant relationship, and it proved out. The sad thing is this, and there shouldn't be a sad thing to this story, should there? But as Coach Dotley was coaching in this Little League team, he started winning a lot. In fact, he won 5 championships. Nobody ever beat him. The other parents got upset about that. So they circulated a petition in the community. They said, this is unfair, and we ask that Coach Dotley be removed from the league. And he was. Think about that. Now, in one way, I can understand. If I was coaching my kid's sports team and I was coaching against a professional, I'd be a little upset. That's unfair, right? But why didn't they look and see? You know, I don't think it's rocket science. Coach Dotley invested his time in those boys. He spent time correcting and teaching. He spent time with them, yelling, even risking being yelled, you know, things saying about himself. He invested his time and energy in that, and it paid off. Other parents, maybe they thought it was his coaching. Maybe they just didn't see what was going on. What if they had went to him and said, what are you doing and what can we do to help our kids? Maybe they didn't want to hear that. He invested his time. Sometimes in our culture, I think, it says, not, you know, that's not it. We got so much we're doing. And my question is, why aren't we investing our time in each other? Why aren't we investing our time in really training? What pulls us away? Why are we not there? Because I struggle with that. I'm sure many of you do as well. Yesterday, I went to our bank. It's on Schaumburg Road near Schaumburg. It's a credit union with a teacher's 54. Right there, I went to my bank and I did a little business there, and I was coming out, and I was driving on Schaumburg Road, and you need to turn right. So there was a guy coming up behind me, the light turned. I turned right, and in the right-hand lane, I put my signal on, and I started to go over to the left-hand lane, but he was coming like balls of fire, you know what I mean? I mean, he was in a hurry. So he came around that, and he didn't turn into the right lane. He went to pass me as I'm changing lanes. You know, he didn't hit me. I'm okay. He's okay. But he came up. He hit his brakes, and I saw him, and I got over. You know, and finally he turned, went to the right-hand lane, and as he was passing me, he said some things. Now, I'm glad it's winter. The windows were closed. But he took off. I mean, he had to be someplace. Whoosh. He went down Schaumburg Road. He got past that light at the post office. You know where that's at? And he went up to the other light with Salem Road, Salem and Schaumburg right there. And it turned red on him. And I was coming. You know, I wasn't in a hurry. I mean, because I had a honey-do list at home. I wasn't in a hurry. So I'm in the left-hand lane, and also, you know, when the light turns red, I coast. They say you can save gas, and at $3 a gallon, I'm cheap too, so just so you know that. So I'm coasting up to the, you know, so I'm going really slow, just whoosh. I get through the light at the post office at the same time he does. He zooms in the right-hand lane, there's three or four cars ahead of him, and I'm coming the left-hand lane, you know, turtle-like. I coast up to the light, there's only one car ahead of me, and I passed him. I didn't do that. No, no. I wanted to, but I didn't. You know, there's enough road rage out there. I didn't want to be a victim of any kind. But think about that. That's a lesson. A lesson I need to. The faster we go, the behinder we get. The faster we go, those we miss around us. The more we try to do, the less we can do. The more we put into who and what we are in our society, sometimes because of things that are out there and we don't get control of it, we don't get focused, we don't prioritize, we're zooming by, we miss. And we don't get to where we want to be because we're going so fast. Last week I told you a story about a Jordanian immigrant, Luma Mufla. She came to this country and she went to Smith College in Massachusetts. When it was time for her to graduate, she called her family in Jordan and said, "I'm not coming home because I like it here." Her family disowned her. She was a rich family, had a rich family. They disowned her. She struggled a while until she found a purpose in coaching refugee children's soccer team in Clarkston, Georgia, just outside of Atlanta. It's a wonderful story, and I'll share more about that with you. She talked about how this group of kids from Africa, from the Middle East, from Afghanistan, from Iraq, from Bosnia, all these immigrant kids, these refugees, they called themselves the Fugees after being refugees. That's the name of their team. Three teams she coached. These Fugees became her family, and they were close. And her dad came back to embrace her after that as well. It's a wonderful story. But she put this team together, and she didn't have, you know, you put three teams together and try to coach it. That's a lot of work. And was volunteer at first. She needed somebody to organize, you know, to put schedules together, to get bus. And also, she made it mandatory, if you're going to practice for an hour and a half of soccer, you've got to do an hour and a half of tutoring before. Or you don't play. Well, she needed help with that. As she was looking for help, a young woman named Tracy Ettinger showed up. Tracy Ettinger was raised on a farm in Nebraska. She knew about hay bales, I'm guessing. When she got out of high school, she knew she wanted to be a doctor, a physician. She went to college, then she went to the University of Nebraska to med school. She was an evangelical Christian, says they went to church three times a week. That's weird, right? Evangelical Christian, three times a week. She went through med school, she graduated med school, but she realized, I can't believe this. But she graduated med school and she realized, this is not for me. This is not for me. So she looked around and she found a job in Atlanta, Georgia, working with immigrants, working with refugees. So through that, she met Coach Mufla, Coach Luma, and they put together this organization, which I shared is a very successful organization now, helping young kids be connected and integrated and you know, responsible citizens in our country. She connected with her. And she's the one that runs their tutoring program now. But she says this. As she talked about her story coming to do this, she says, you know, in my time in college, in my time in high school, and especially in my time in med school, I felt driven and busy all the time. Like I wasn't contributing. Just driven and busy. And do you feel like that? Driven and busy all the time. And if we are driven and busy all the time, even as a doctor or even as a pastor, even as whatever you do, can you really love and serve others if you're driven and busy all the time? God asks us to invest loving relationship in each other. And we need to take account of that. We need to be those who do the will of God and focus on do time and energy in that. We need to be those who do relationship with each other and take account of each other. And grow in that love and grace and be a witness to this community and a witness to this world. So one way to end this is to say, you know what? Don't do so much and look at what's important. And I think that's a good ending lesson, don't you? But take the blue sheet out of your bulletin. You knew you were going to regret this, didn't you? Take the blue sheet out of your bulletin. It is one thing to say, this is what we ought to do. It's a second thing to try to work on it, isn't it? And some of you I saw were looking over your shoulders. Here comes the ushers with the pencils. Oh, no. No, it's not for here. But I want you to think about this. Because when I sat and looked at this, I thought of things that really destroy my time or take me away from what's important. And they sound insignificant, little things, but I challenge you to do this. I challenge you. I don't suggest it, I challenge you. And see what it does to your time. See how it helps. First, beware of the little things in our life. What are the little things you do that tend to steal your time? List two of them, just so you're aware. Awareness is important. Do you ever sit down on the TV and say, I'm going to be here for 10 minutes? And find yourself 30 minutes later? It's not wrong, it's not sinful, but it's stolen some time I could have done someplace else. What steals your time? Secondly, beware of those who want to market and sell things. They want to take our time as well as our money. And I did put an example in here. I'm not much of a shopper myself, but you put me in Cabela. What is it? Cabela. You take me to Cabela's and I'm there for 3 hours. And not buy a thing. But I just love the look. You know, the sports advertisements that come, I'll spend as much time on that as I will the editorials. What are the marketing things in your life that you tend to be pulled to and say, I need that, or I need to put my time in that, or shopping that? It's not just some of us, it's all of us. Put those down. Third, investing your time. List two new things to do to invest in significant relationships. Maybe it's as simple as getting somebody a cup of coffee at work and saying good morning. But maybe it's really making an appointment with somebody and sitting down and say, you know, I want to make time together. I want to have a date night together as a couple. I want to do this together. What are two new things you can do to invest in a significant relationship? Finally, do a time audit. List the top three ways you spend your time. It may not show you anything. But I know in terms of doing financial audits, do you ever do that where your money goes? It's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that. Do a time audit. What's the top three ways you spend your time? And just be aware of that. All right? Invest in significant relationships. Next week, I want to see all of you here. I'll try to have less stories. How's that? I want to see all of you here. And I want to talk about the concept of grace, God's grace and grace living together, and how we incorporate that concept of grace with family, with friends, and with relationships we have together. All right? Let's stand for a blessing. Dear God, we thank you for the loving relationships you have given us. We thank you for each other. And Lord, sometimes we repent of us being too busy or too driven or letting other things get in the way of loving each other. So Lord, help us focus and be aware of what we do that we make take steps to correct that in ways of love and grace. All of this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.